intent. This is really interesting, and this may seem like a really pathetic example to all of you, but it's one that my wife and I believe in. You may recall we had a very ill, you know, we're cat people, we have cats, and we had a very ill cat. Abby, in fact, actually died on the table, as it were, and he was in with a super vet. She was really a super vet who breathed for him. Can you imagine that with a cat? She breathed for our cat and to keep him alive. And he came back. Ultimately, he came back. But during the time that he was ill, I was telling my wife that that we'd have to get another cat. We would have to continue on. We feel like we should care for cats. And we put out this intent to get another cat, to have another cat, to have another animal in our lives. And that's when Yeti came bounding into our yard. And it's kind of like the intent went out, and oh boy, there was the answer. And it turned out our cat got well. Now we have four cats, all right? But the intent went out to call a cat to arrive, and believe me, this one arrived. He was just jumping up and down, bounding around our yard, you know, like, here I am, I'm home, take me. And then he got inside, and he looked at the other cats, and he said, who are you people? I thought I was the only one. Anyway, it's like we sent out an intent, and we got our answer. Lynn?
Well, I think that that's, you know, that kind of story gets repeated all the time to me about people who, on their own little basis, try sending out intentions in all regards and, you know, get a result. Now, a lot of people who work on this, again, this isn't necessarily scientific, but a lot of people working and, you know, self-help type people who talk about it, and also gurus of a variety of Eastern type philosophies, say that when you send out an intention, send it out as though it's already happened. You know, I have a new cat, kind of thing. I am getting a new cat. You know, instead of future tense, I would like a new cat, something like that. It's just, my new cat is here, and it's like. And they also say send it out and then forget about it. And a lot of healers talk about this too. They send out their healing intent, and then they go on to something else.
Yes. Well, be careful what you intend. Now, you know, a lot of this thing, a lot of the what we call the paranormal, particularly as it involves precognition, for example, appears to be so random in nature. There's nothing consistent about the ability or the power, and it seems to come unbidden. It just happens. But it's so irregular that scientists can't get their hands wrapped around it because it's not that repeatable, and they just love repeatable things.
Well, I think this is why, you know, it comes back to the idea of us wanting to do experiments and to work on it. I mean, a lot of scientists just don't believe it, so they don't look at it.
Right.
And many of the people doing paranormal experiments are working on certain things with random machines or whatever, but haven't pushed the boat out as much as can be pushed out on things like, you know, practical uses of this. You know, how do we use this stuff in real life? And that's, as I say, that's what we're looking at the moment.
But again, you would admit that it is not necessarily a consistent thing, not provable every single time and repeatable for science every single time.
Well, I think the reason it's not a consistent thing is comes back to what we were talking about, Art, about, you know, the effect of the energies on our own energy. We talked about the effect of the sun, but, you know, aside from having profound biological effects, it also seems to have a great effect on our ability to access the field, to have psychic experiences. Some of the studies that have been done shown that when the Earth is, you know, when the sun is quiet, when it's a nice low-level geomagnetic day,
yes,
you know, it's like a clear day and you can see forever. You know, brain slow wave activity increases. That's the kind of thing that, you know, that we need for more meditative effects.
Well, very well put. So, in other words, the sun is kind of like a giant white noise generator, and when it's slamming at us, it sort of fogs the field, as it were.
Yeah, exactly. It's that, you know, it's like a metronome for us, because it sets up so many things. There are certain harmonics of the sun that are available that more or less become our rhythms at birth. And it's and it seems then that thereafter, there are all these explosive effects we've talked about seem to interfere with our sort of ability to pick up things beyond our own senses. Now, when the Earth is noisy, they found that there's some disturbances in electrical balances of the brain, and your EEG readings are destabilized. So your brain's not working so synchronistically, and it seems to upset our energetic equilibrium. And the studies that have been done show that in these noisy geomagnetic days, we're not so good at remote viewing. So I always tell people that, you know, a good thing to do is to check the NOAA website and check out what the sun's doing before you try doing some of this.
I do it every day. Every day. Oh, I do. I'm a ham radio operator, and, you know, that affects radio operation to a great degree. And I've always felt that it affects everything to a great degree. How could it not? The sun is the center of our universe.
Absolutely.
Our little universe, anyway. And there's so much energy from it that to imagine that it does not affect us in our lives every day is crazy.
Well, I think it's really interesting that, you know, they've even got a science now called chronoastrobiology, which is looking at the effect of these, you know, of the sun and the other planets on our, you know, on our bodies. And they're finding that our living things have rhythms that correspond with solar activity. And that, as I say, these sort of harmonics and subharmonics seem to affect a lot of things. Even our longevity seems to be related to certain solar cycles.